is not here. These women were going to the grave. These women were looking for Jesus at the wrong place. Now, this needs to connect. How many of you are looking for life in the wrong places? How many of us look at social media for advice on filling the blank? How many of us look for the wrong places, life, in the graves of this society? Society doesn't run the course of God. Society runs the course of Satan, of this world. It's anti-God. But yet, what do? We go to the world to find repair. We go to the world to find how to fix something in our life, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances, whatever it may be, faith. We're all looking for life in the wrong places. These women went looking for Jesus who was living, Jesus who had repeatedly told them, "I will rise up again," at the wrong place. I want us to understand, folks, that exactly what people do today. We look for in careers. We look life in careers. We look for life in a job. We look for life in relationships that are not the relationships God wants us to be in, by the way. We look for life in institutions. We look for life in different things. I'm looking for purpose. No, God has a purpose for your life, sir. Ma'am, this morning, God has a purpose for your life. Here's the problem. You don't like God's purpose for your life. That's the truth. Amen. You know what I didn't like growing up without a father? I didn't like the simple fact that I had an anger for a stranger I never knew. Follow me? And guess what I was looking for to numb the pain of not having a father? Drugs. I wasn't looking at the church. I wasn't looking at my home pastor who was a godly father figure in my life. I wasn't looking for my mom or in the Bible wondering how I could numb the pain. I didn't need to numb the pain. I needed to find the joy in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? The originator of life. Amen? The problem is we try to do things our way, and guess what we're going to find out? All we're going to do is destroy everything beautiful God's built. Amen? I'll say amen. Amen, Pastor. We look for identity in relationships. Hey, the only identity you and I need to find is the fact that we are children of God. I am in Christ, so therefore I'm a Christian. Amen? That's all the identity I need. When I go to young people, when you go to public school, guess what you are? A Christian. Amen? Hey, spouses, if you're married to someone, amen, guess what you are? A Christian spouse. Hey, those of you that are parents trying to raise young people for the Lord, guess what you are? Christian parents. We're Christian. We find our identity in Christ. Amen? We don't need reassurance from the world. We don't need to find our value in the world and what society says. Well, you know what? You don't look the right form or like the right figure. You're not the right age. Here's the thing. So what? I'm perfect for God. He was willing to die for me. Amen? He thought I was worth dying for. That's true. That gives me so much validity. That gives me so much insurance to continue going in on life. No matter how I look, no matter my background, no matter who I might be and I mess things up, guess what? He has a purpose for my life and he makes a miracle out of my mess. That's life. I don't have to be perfect. Because I serve a perfect Savior. I want you to see that sometimes we're looking for peace in distractions. Sometimes we're looking for fulfillment in sin. And here's the thing, like that empty tomb, you won't find life where death still reigns in the tomb. Some of us, we're searching hard, are we not? Some of you are searching real hard in dead places. But deep down inside, you and I already know it's not going to work. We know the truth. If you're a child of God today and you believe and have faith in God, you already know. Doing it any other way, guess what? It's not going to work. It's like checking a graveyard for someone that's living. It's like looking for someone that's alive at the graveyard. And you're committed to searching for this individual. You're emotionally set. I'm going to look for this person that's alive at the graveyard. You're committed and you're sincere. But can I tell you, you're completely wrong. You know what you're going to find in the graveyard? Not people that are alive. People that have passed away. I want us to understand it's important for us not to waste time searching for what's right in the wrong places. Here's the second point. If you're still with me, say amen. If I lost you, it's okay. Amen. Second point. For he is risen as he said. Matthew 28:6 says, he is not here. For he is risen as he said. Three powerful truths we can get from this, just this one verse. Jesus didn't just rise. Guess what he did? He said he would rise. Do you get this? It wasn't just random. This wasn't just luck. This is Jesus keeping his word, which is the word of God, keeping the promise. He fulfilled his promise. Folks, why are you and I trying to do it some way differently when we have the word of God and the promises of God in our life and we're trying to do it differently? I'll never understand that. This is his word. This is his fulfilled word. Trust it. Obey it. Amen. When Jesus arose, he had already talked about it. He had already said it. The problem isn't that God hasn't spoken it. The problem is that we, the people, God's people, listen up, God's people, we don't believe what he says. We just don't. Oh, I believe in God. Then why are you living the way you're living? Ungodly. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that you're perfect. Pastor, are you perfect? No, I'll tell you right now. I have a lot of problems. I'm not perfect. Ask my wife. She has a longer list. That's not the point. Ungodly means without God. Ungodly means a life that's not separated for God. That's what ungodly means. So when you make a choice that's ungodly and say, I'm godly, I believe in God. No. Either the word of God is a liar or you're a liar. That's the truth. We don't want to be called a liar. See, oh, Pastor, I thought this was about the resurrection. It is, but we preach the word of God here. I'm working on a reverse psychology type of thing where it was like, this is the reason why you should not attend our church. And then I'm going to preach why, because we preach against sin. We preach the word of God. You know, that's the honest truth. We preach the word of God. So if this is not what you're looking for, guess what? Don't come here. That's okay. This church is not for everyone. But what you will get is truth, sincerity. You don't have to figure out, I wonder what they stand for. You don't have to figure out, they're wishy-washy. No, we're going to tell you how it is. Guess what? I don't like how it is. Because sometimes I have lived my life for so long doing the same thing over and over and over again wrong. And then I get into a scripture portion of the Bible, and I'm looking at this reference, and then it's telling me how wrong I've been for all these years. You think I want to change? I don't want to change. I'm stubborn, Ms. Naomi. I'm sorry. I don't want to change. I'm a pastor now. I don't want to change. What are people going to think? I don't want to change. It doesn't matter what people are going to think. It doesn't matter my emotions if I want to change or not. What matters is what? What the word of God says. Amen. Amen. See, Jesus fulfills his promises. So regardless of my emotions, I should not follow my heart. Regardless of what people might think of me, regardless of my image, I should not follow or make decisions based off of what other people think. I should not be here to please others. I should be here to please who? God. God's word. God's word, that's where the power is at. The power of the teaching of the word of God is in its application. You know what that means? You know how you find the power of God in your life and become godly? By obeying it. That's it. You're not going to float in the air. Okay, your skin's not going to glisten in the sun when it hits it. No, that's Hollywood. I'm talking about true power of God, having the presence of God in your life, having the presence and peace of God in your marriage, having the power and the presence of God in your family, having the prince of the peace that surpasses all understanding in our church, being able to understand Scripture. Stop living off of other people's Bible studies. Have your own Bible study. Get to know who God is. You're going to realize that the reason he's risen is because he said it. He keeps his promises. Again, Jesus told them repeatedly he would rise. You say, Pastor, where? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 23. But when the moment came, guess what happened? His disciples still doubted. Before we criticize them, okay, I would have a difficult time believing it. Just so, to be honest with you. Why? I've never seen someone die for 3 days and then rise up again like they're alive, like nothing happened. I haven't seen it. Maybe you have. I'm not talking about Hollywood, okay? But I've never seen it in real life. So you have to understand, we're talking about something that's never happened before. And so these people still doubted. But let me ask you something. Does it sound familiar? We at least know he lives. Why? There's an empty tomb. But here's the truth. You and I still hear the preaching of the Word of God. You and I still read the Scripture of the Word of God. You and I know what God says in his Word. But you know what we do sometimes? We still hesitate how we live, how we obey the Word of God. You know what we do? We delay in obedience. You know what we do? We question it. If Jesus was right about the resurrection, can I tell you something this morning? He's right about everything. He's right about everything. That includes my sin. He's right about my sin. That includes about my critical spirit. And if I have a negative attitude, he's right about that. He's right about my need to repent. He's right about that. You see, here's the thing. You and I don't get to pick parts of the Bible on what we're going to believe or we're not going to believe. Either you believe it all or you don't believe any of it. That's the truth. The truth is he is risen, as he said. That's power. Okay, let me just give you a hint, okay? If someone predicts their death, not only that, but they predict their resurrection, oh, and then they pull it off, you probably want to believe that person. Just saying. Here's the third point. Amen. Are you still with me? Amen. Third point. Come see the place where the Lord lay. This is the third powerful truth of this verse. He's leaving us an invitation without an excuse. You and I can have an excuse and say, well, I don't want to see the proof. Or we could say, I can't see the proof today because I'm going to get married. It's okay. Doesn't matter. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Guess what? It's empty. Maybe we could say, well, I can't go today. I'm feeling a little sick. It's okay. You have no excuse. The place where he lay, it's empty. There's the proof. There's your evidence. My friends, the angel invites them. They said, come and see. This is not blind faith. We are not Christians because of blind faith. This is not a fairy tale. You follow me? People witness this. Okay, historical documents show witnesses. When Jesus, after he resurrected, he was seen by many. Guess what we need in the court of law? Witnesses. Guess what the court of law needs? How many witnesses? Just one. But three will help. Jesus was seen over 500 after he resurrected. If you read it in 1 Corinthians, these are witnesses. These are people that saw. We're not just following blind faith, my friends. The angels inviting them, come and see. Come and examine the truth. See if we're telling a lie. Hey, Christianity's not built on a myth. It's built on this. A real empty tomb. You can find Confucius in his grave. You can find Buddha in his grave. You can find Allah in his grave. You can find the bones. You can't find Jesus. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Many of these religious leaders, many of them said, hey, follow me, I'm the one, I'm the chosen one, but none of them had said what Jesus said in John 14, 6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, this man had the audacity to say he's the life, the way, the truth. Man, who does this guy think he is? The Son of God. Only one to say that. God gives the evidence, but he still requires a response from us. See, you and I, we can look and believe. Or we can look and walk away. It's your choice. Victory Baptist Church is here to help people to know Christ. Not just as a Savior, but as the Lord of their life. Many of us have accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Many of us have not accepted him as the Lord of our life. What do you mean? We have handed over the keys of our heart over to Jesus. Do whatever you want with my life. We have not surrendered our will to Jesus. He's not the Lord of our lives. We've not surrendered, men, our eyes to Jesus. You look at whatever you want. And you wonder why you struggle with lust. Amen. I'll say it. Amen. This is what resurrection is about, believe it or not. Power to live past this. Many of you women have not surrendered your heart to God. This is why it's difficult for you to submit to your husbands. I'm just dodging in case the tomatoes are flying. Amen. But it's true. Now you say, Pastor, does that mean you're perfect? No, no one's perfect. That's why we need a Lord in our life. Follow me? This is why we need a perfect Savior in our life. Follow me? Some of you parents haven't surrendered your children over to God. And you wonder why. You don't have to wonder. Either you can look and believe, or either you can look and walk away. It's your choice. It's my choice. But you can never say, and I could never say, are you listening? There's not enough proof. You can never say that. I can never say that. At some point, the investigation must turn into a decision. What will you decide today? You can study Jesus your whole life, and guess what? Still die lost because you never responded. It's like standing at the door of a boat. As your ship is sinking, right? And then you can analyze the boat. You can ask questions about the boat. You can debate the structure of the boat. But what's going to happen if you eventually don't enter? If your boat is sinking, if your ship is sinking, and there's a rescue boat, what's going to die if you just analyze, you look at it, but you never get on the rescue boat? What's going to happen? I don't have to answer it. You know it. Eventually, you either get in on the rescue boat, or you what? Do it your way. Drown. These verses, they confront three realities. He's not here. Stop looking for life in dead places. He is risen, as he said. Stop doubting what God has already spoken. And this is the third powerful truth. Come and see. Stop investigating without deciding. I have three questions real quick for you, and we'll be done. Where in your life are you honestly looking for Jesus? I'm sorry. Where in your life are you honestly looking, for Jesus in the wrong place? What do you mean, Pastor? What are you chasing that you know cannot give you life? Are you chasing relationships? Are you chasing your desires? Are you chasing peace? What is it that you're chasing in the wrong places? Here's the second question. If Jesus proved and he tells the truth through the resurrection, what part of his word are you still resisting? Or what part of his word are you still ignoring? If you know the truth, we can't be a walking contradiction. I guess we can, but it's not going to help us. We'll be like the walking dead, basically. We're alive outwardly, but inside we're dead. we're rotten morally, potentially. Here's the truth, right? If I wanted Jesus to change my life when I was a teenager in my rebellious years, all I had to do was make the decision and say, God, I understand these are the cards that have been dealt to me. I grew up in a home never knowing my father. Okay, a single parent home. Okay, you just so happen to give me, help me raise in the nicest neighborhood, not Fifth Ward, amen. They have a park there called Pearl Harbor. I wonder why. But if you know anything about Fifth Ward, you'll understand many deaths happen in that park. But it's called Pearl Harbor. And you grow up in that situation. I could have been very bitter, and I was for 7 years. I was from 14 to 21. And I could have very easily just decided, because I knew the Bible. I was just ignoring it. And I could have blamed my father, which I did at times, but you can only use that crutch for so long. I still had to decide. I still had to come to grips with it. My dad's not here, so why am I giving him that power? I'm here. I know my Christ. I have a mama that takes me to church. You know, I grew up on drugs, not literally, but she drugged me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. Those kind of drugs. She drugged me that way. Against my will. But I do understand, even though it was against my will, eventually, guess what ended up happening? When I surrendered and I decided, okay, I'm looking, I believe. That's all I had to do. I was already saved at the age of 5. But I had not changed my life, my trajectory in my life. I had not surrendered my life over to God until I was 21. Doesn't mean I was going to go to hell, but it means while I was living on earth, the most miserable person on earth was Ezekiel Rivera from Houston, Texas, Fifth Ward, that went to Iglesia Bautista Libertad, Pastor Roy Carrizales. I was the most miserable person. You know why? Because I was saved, a child of God, a Christian. I knew what was right from wrong. I read my Bible. I memorized my Bible. I went to Sunday school. I went to camps. I knew what was right and wrong. I was convicted many times, Brother Jeremiah. I would cry, you know, but real cry, real tears. And I would cry. I was miserable. But let me tell you why. Because I was fighting him. I was not willing to surrender my will. What is my will? What I wanted to do. I'm angry, and I have a right to be angry. And many of you would have been the worst enemies because you were like, yeah, you're right. I don't need friends like that, believe me. If I have friends like that, who needs an enemy? I need friends to tell me, hey, look, Zeke, you're wrong. Amen. I need friends like the Word of God tells me when I'm wrong, what I need to correct. I don't need somebody to just agree with me and say, oh, yeah, you're right. It's okay. Keep going. The bridge, but it's okay. I support you. Hopefully you don't die real bad. With a friend like that, who needs an enemy? You know what I needed? Hey, look, man, you're going down this direction. It's wrong. Son, your mama is working 2 full-time jobs, Texas Children's Hospital, and then on the offices of Telemundo there off of 610 Loop. She's doing this to help you so you can get an education, so you can do better. But she really wants you to go to church and serve God with your life. You know what I was ignoring? That. I was ignoring the people that loved me, that really supported me and cared for me. The ones that were telling me, you're doing wrong! Warning! Stop! But I was mainly ignoring Jesus. That's who really I was ignoring. And when I surrendered, man, I experienced this relationship with my Heavenly Father that no earthly father would have ever given me. He helped me break the chains. He helped me break the chains in. The trap, the snares that come with that. Generational curse. That my father, maybe you could blame him and say, well, he passed that on to me. But it was my choice. If I wanted to continue down that cycle, or I choose to believe God. And guess what I chose? To believe God. See, in Psalm it talks about many people put their trust in men and chariots. Man, I don't put my trust in that. I put my trust in God. That's why I don't fear men. Not that I'm big and bad. I just don't fear, man. I fear God. I fear God. I know what he's done in my life. I've seen where he's taken me out of. I see where he's putting me on. Listen, you're talking about a father who loves his children. I'm not saying I'm perfect. You can ask them. But a father who's in a position to be a father and experience those things that I did not experience as a child with my father. How does that happen? I didn't have an example. I decided to surrender and say, God, help me. That's all. That's all that means. But if you continuously fight what I did, for 7 years I was miserable, the most miserable person in the world, because I was a child of God living in sin. And it's not always the bad sin. The sin could be I'm not willing to give forgiveness. Some of you, you know what you need to do today? And I'm done. I said I was done, but I still have 2 minutes. You know what some of you need to do today? Like that godly young lady says, let it go. Elsa, let it go. Some of you need to let it go. Some of you need to let it go. Because you're holding on to that bitterness. You're holding on to that resentfulness. Okay, I said godly lady. I'm sorry. But you're holding on to it. Let it go. Hey, Zeke, let it go. And I promise you, you won't have regrets. I'm going to give you my age. I'm okay. My wife's like, babe, you don't need to do that. But I'll do it. I'm 46 years old. Since my 21 years old, it was on October 11 of 2001. Oh, a month right after September 11, right after that. A month right after that, I remember where I was at. I remember where I surrendered my life to God. And I promise you, I have no regrets. These, 25 years of my life of making, well, it'll be 25 in October, but 24 years of my life of surrendering my life to God. Ask my wife, do we have a perfect marriage? She's perfect for me, but, you know, God's still working on me. No, we don't have a perfect marriage, but you know what we do have? A good marriage. And you know what we do when problems come our way? Because it's two of us that are committed to each other. Guess what we do? We work through it. We don't try to, like, look life in dead places. We try to look for life in what he keeps his promises, anchoring in the promises of God, anchored in the promises of God. That's where we look for life. This is the living word of God. And when you and I obey it, guess what it does? It changes your life. Now, my wife doesn't have the same history as I do. She grew up in a good home, good Christian home. Her father was always in the ministry. Her mother was there to support her dad. Her father was there to guide the home. She grew up in a good, perfect? No, but good family home. A good family home in such a way that her brothers, most of them, are either missionaries, pastors, or serving in the church. Married to their wives. To the point where her sisters are either married to a pastor or serving someone, married to someone that's serving in the ministry. Okay? Now, not all of them, but listen, that's not bad. You know, where I grew up, we thought you were either going to be a pimp, prostitute, a drug dealer. I know not all of Houston's that way, but the part of Houston I was in is the gutter, okay? It's just the truth, okay? You say, Pastor, you're just talking bad about yourself. No, I'm talking about how great my God is. This is what he took me out of. And I didn't see hope. All I saw was darkness. Not because, never mind, I'm not going to go there. But all I saw was darkness. There was no hope. You know who's the one that gave me that hope? You know who's the one that could help me see past my barriers, past my circumstances, past the poverty level, past the skin color, past the ignorance? God. My wife's family is an amazing family, but I'm going to tell you what it is that helped them. God. So her experiences and my experiences are totally different. But guess what's the common denominator? God. We chose to look and believe God. That's the difference. You know what makes Victory Baptist Church, Victory Baptist Church? You say, oh, the perfect parishioners. No, I mean, you know, I wish, amen, some of you are good, but it's not that. What is it? It's Jesus, God. He's the glue. Are we perfect? No. If you go around our auditorium here, it might not be much, but to me, it's the world. But here's the truth. You'll find problems. You'll find cracks in our, you know, kinks in our armor. But it's God. It's God that keeps us together, that has assembled us, that has put us together and connected us together. It's not pastor. Amen? It's not. It's God. And that's who I'm preaching to you. And I hope you understand the God that gave Jesus that life again to live. The originator of life is the one that can give you life. But stop expecting that it's a walk in the park. And stop expecting life to be like the way you expect it to be. Stop debating. Stop arguing. Stop analyzing. Start believing. Either you're going to get on the rescue boat or you're going to drown. With that said, let's pray. Bow our head, close our eyes. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about